Pray for Bishop Godfrey as he preaches the word. Heavenly Father, we give you glory, honor, thanks. For this, your servant, Bishop Godfrey, that the words that you have given him today will be your words indeed. May our ears be attentive. May our hearts and minds be open to receive the blessing that you speak through him. We pray all this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, my brother, for the warm reception, but also for that introduction. My name is Godfrey Luum, and by the grace of God, I am the Bishop of the Diocese of Northern Uganda. I bring you greetings from the people of Northern Uganda and Uganda in general, but more specifically, I bring you greetings from my dear wife and children, who know I am here, and they are praying with us that this message will come through and that somebody may be touched by the message that God has prepared for us. And I am also so happy to introduce one of my daughters, Townsend. She is here. Townsend is a member of this church, but she has been to our diocese twice, and she has agreed to become my daughter. And so I am so happy that she is here, and I know she will probably be coming over and over to Uganda. And I want to extend that welcome to all of you. My dear friend and Bishop, thank you so much for this opportunity to stand here and speak the word of God to you. When I was told that I would have this opportunity to preach, and I was given the text, the passages, but I wasn't given any theme, and I was given that free check to decide how this thing should go. And then I prayed about it, and then the Lord gave me an idea that the theme should come from Exodus that was read to us. And in that text, you know, Moses was arguing with God. And then Moses told God that, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And you know, this was an engagement between God and his servant Moses concerning the conduct of the people of Israel. As you may know, the people of Israel found themselves slaves in Egypt. And they cried out to the Lord, even when they knew they were the chosen race, the chosen people of God. But for whatever reason, they were in that situation. For so many years, they were helpless. They could not help themselves. And then God called Moses, raised him up, and then sent him to lead them out of that house of slavery. And God did that in miraculous ways. And so he came along with the people up to the mountain of Sinai. And then God commanded Moses to climb up the mountain to meet with him, to engage with him up there. And so when Moses went up the mountain, the people were left at camp, and for whatever reason, they forgot the God who delivered them from the house of slavery. They decided to make for themselves gods, idols. They rejected the God who is alive, who rescued them from the house of slavery. And they chose for themselves a dead idol, one that they made out of their own hands. And they turned that into their object of worship. The scripture says they worshiped these idols. The scripture says they sacrificed to these idols. Moses was not aware of what was going on at camp. But then God was really, really angry with the people for what they have done, after what he had done to them. And so he told Moses that, go back to your camp. Your people out there have done terrible things, and I am about to let my anger bear down on them. And so Moses turned to God, and he said, wait a minute. Remember you had servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember that you promised them. But also remember that you rescued these stubborn people from the house of slavery in Egypt, and you have brought them. The Egyptians know that you are God because of the way you rescued them from there. How can you allow your anger to finish them off? Please relent, God. These are your people. Even if they have sinned, but on account of your faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, relent. Do not finish them off. And then God relented, thankfully. So this is where I thought the theme should come out of. But as you are preparing to come, to do the procession to come here, then I thought perhaps God is saying we should instead remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that the message is no longer to God, but the message is to us. Wherever we are, whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever condition of the heart we have, we should remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. Perhaps this is the message that God would like us to take in this morning. Friends, no one, even people who have testimonies about the goodness of God, can escape the temptations of this world. No one. Everybody can actually fall. Everybody can actually go astray from the path that God has prepared for every one of us. Who could imagine that the Israelites, who saw the hand of God at work in their lives, could actually forget him? How could you imagine that the people that God so loved, the people that God rescued in a miraculous way, they could reject this God and come up with their own God? It is impossible to understand why it happens. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, God is telling us this morning that we must remember him. We must remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. Why? Because this is a God who goes after his own people. He doesn't forget them. He doesn't let them go on their way. He keeps pursuing them. And that is why when Moses... Oh, this thing. I'm about to call my daughter to hold it for me as I talk. Yeah. So, you remember when God and Moses were engaging in that conversation, God was very annoyed with the people. The people had sinned after he had done a lot of good for them. They sinned, they rejected him, and they came up with their own God. And God was now ready to finish them. But he continued to say, so that I will bless you, Moses. But he had forgotten. He was about to destroy the rest of the people. And so Moses engaged God, that remember your servants. And because of them, because of their faithfulness, please relent. Do not destroy these people. And God relented. Friends, Moses stood in the gap. When there is a destroyed relationship between God and human beings, there is someone needs to step in, to stand in the gap, to plead on behalf of the people, but also to plead, or to plead to the power that be on account of the sinfulness of the people. Moses, only one person out of the thousands or hundreds of thousands of the Israelites who sinned against God, only Moses, it was only him, and he pleaded with God. So like I said, no one is immune to the temptations of this world, because we live in a sinful world, and anybody can easily stray and get lost. But if there is someone who can stand in the gap and plead on account of those who have gotten astray, then God from heaven can relent. Why? because he doesn't give up on his children. He doesn't give up on his children. Even when we have sinned, he has not forgotten about us. Even when he gets angry with us, he does not want to destroy us. But he continues to pursue us. And that is why he relented and did not finish off the Israelites as they were in that camp. This is something for us to think about this morning. I don't know how you are or where you are in terms of your journey of faith. Maybe you think you're moving together with the Lord. But maybe you have been waiting upon the Lord, but it doesn't seem to even be aware of where you are, the situation you are going through, and you are like you are on your own. And just like the Israelites said, as to this Moses here, the man who brought us from Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. Maybe you are also in that kind of situation. You don't know whether God is really there. You don't know whether you are really walking together with him. But at least you know that he has been good to you in the past. I want to believe that every one of us in this house has a testimony of God's goodness in their own individual lives in the past. But because of the current situations, because of the challenges that we are going through, sometimes we reach a stage where we feel as if we are alone, on our own, and God doesn't seem to pay attention. God doesn't seem to care. And at that point, sometimes we begin to drift from God himself. We become very impatient with the situations that we find ourselves in. Rather than wait upon the Lord, we begin to take on responsibilities that should not be ours. And in the end, we take up decisions that ends up separating us from God. And that is already sin. When sin comes into the picture, we are separated from God. And if we continue on that road, there can only be pain and destruction and things we do not like. But because we don't know where the pain is coming from, where the challenges are coming from, there is need for somebody to cry out to the Lord. Somebody needs to stand in the gap and plead on behalf of the sinful to the one who has power and authority to forgive and to relent. How I pray that the Church of Christ will be that which stands in the gap. How I pray that you and I, if we will walk right with the Lord, then we can plead with the Lord on account of the lost world that we find ourselves in. This is the same story that we see in the Gospel of Luke that was read to us. Jesus was trying to give the mind of God when something has gone wrong in the relationship between him and his people. What is the mind of God? Jesus is giving it to us. Because those who thought they had a wonderful relationship with God saw how Jesus was relating with the sinners, and they could not believe that this is a man sent from God. They thought he was one of them, another sinner, claiming to be a servant of God. But then Jesus said, wait a moment. If you are a shepherd and you are in charge of 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what do you do? The right thing a shepherd would do, because the shepherd loves his flock, he will leave the rest and he will try as much as he can to look for this one and find it and bring it back to the fold. That is God for you. But also, because each one of us is so precious to the Lord, it is like each one of us is like wealth in the hands of God, something he doesn't want to lose. And he compared it to a coin that a woman has, that is wealth. And he said, if from that bank a coin gets lost, which woman will not take the house apart to find that lost coin? Because that is wealth. You and I are the wealth in the eyes of God. And he wouldn't want to lose me. He wouldn't want to lose anyone, Because we are all precious. So when something goes wrong, my brothers and sisters, in the mind of God, God has lost a sheep and he becomes the shepherd. There is no way he can take the other flock back home and leave this other one in the wilderness. The good shepherd will go out and look for this sheep until he finds them and until he reintegrates them with the bigger flock. That is God for you. But also, everybody is a wealth in the eyes of God, so precious. He's not willing to let any one of us get lost. But because he has given us freedom, sometimes even when he pursues us, we continue to run. And we continue to run towards danger, even when he's pursuing us. How I pray this morning, that if something has gone wrong, maybe between you and God himself, or perhaps between you and another human being, how I pray that we will allow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel to help us deal with the situation. Because he loves every one of us, including the ones we think are our enemies. He loves them. And he expects us to demonstrate the kind of love that he has for us to these other people who do not know him, so that out of our love for our enemies, then our enemies may get to know that there is a God that this person follows, and this God is a good one. How I pray that you and I will stand in the gap so that we are able to do that. In fact, the story that we see between Moses and God and the people of Israel is probably the summary of what has been going on in the relationship between mankind and God from the time of creation up to now. Everybody has a sense of God, an awareness that there is God. But then every one of us is also free to do the things they want to do the way they want to do it. It is as if there is no one watching, and everybody thinks they can do things the way they want. And yet there is God. But then also, you know, we live in a world that is so fast. Things are moving so fast that we do not have time to take in what is going on. And how do I decide on what to do in this fast speed that the world is going through? And so we become very impatient. Instead of waiting upon the Lord, we become so impatient, and in our impatience, we take decisions that separate us from God. And once we are separated from God, then anything is now possible. Anything becomes possible now. No wonder many of us who have walked away from God are living in pain, are living in situations that we in want. We live desiring something good, but we don't know what it is. How I pray that today God may open our eyes and know that there is this God who doesn't leave his people. That God will put it in our hearts not only to keep running away from him, but to stop and think about the situation and turn back to him, because he wants us back as his children. He wants us back as sheep in that fold. He wants us back as his wealth, because he created us for his own joy. And so, is it all about God? I mean, when things go wrong, is it only God who should really be pursuing us, or is there something that each one of us can also do? Now, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he was sharing his own experience. Because he says, before he met Christ, he was a persecutor, he was a blasphemer, he was that very bad person. And you know what? He was also a member of the Pharisees, people who thought that their relationship with God was really above everybody else. They thought they knew God's law. They thought they were living according to God's law. And that was Paul. However, he persecuted the people who love God truly. The people who are serving God are the ones that Paul, even with his zeal, persecuted because he didn't know who Christ was. And so when he met with the Lord, and the Lord called him, and the Lord sent him, Paul became a witness of the transforming power that is in Jesus Christ. This means, again, since, like I said earlier, that nobody is safe from the temptations of this world, again, through the experience of Paul, we can also say everybody can be forgiven. There is no one who has so sinned that is now beyond the redemption of God. No sin is impossible for God to forgive. And so wherever you are, or to put it this way, there are some people that you love so much, and you, in your heart, you want them to be here in church. You want them to be disciples and followers of Jesus. But for whatever reason, they have chosen the kind of life they have chosen. And they are heading full speed in the opposite direction. And you are asking yourself, oh. Does this thing work? I could use this one.
Yes, you have to be close to it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it is both ways. It can be me and you as a person. Maybe you are struggling with something in your life, perhaps sin, maybe the difficulties or the challenges of this world, and you're struggling alone. There is transforming power in the blood of Jesus. But maybe you have a child who has taken a direction that doesn't give you peace, that doesn't give you any happiness because of the choices they have made. Again, remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. He can relent when you stand in the gap, and he can forgive even those who have sinned, like he did for the Israelites. He can do for you. I remember after high school, there was war in our area, and my mother, who was the one who was paying my fees, became broke. She could not pay my fees anymore. I dropped out of school, and it was an experience that I never imagined I would find myself in. There was war on both sides. I mean, for young men like me, at that time, it was terrible. Because the rebel forces would want to recruit by force. They would come if they meet a young man my age at that time. Then I am a candidate for recruitment by force. They will just take you, go train you, and turn you into a killer. But also the government forces, when they come and they meet a young person that age, they suspect that that one is a rebel. So both ways things were difficult. But for whatever reason, God saved me from both of them. I stayed in the rural areas deep in the village, but the rebels did not get me. The government soldiers did not get me, and I survived the most difficult part. Okay, can you hear me? Okay. So but in the middle of that difficult situation, I got into drinking because of frustration, because of those things. You want to belong to the group. And life was so difficult that what was normal is no longer normal. The abnormal had become the normal. So I just got into drinking, and then when it subsided a bit, I was no longer myself. I couldn't control myself. I continued drinking and wasting my life. But the difference was my grandfather and my grandmother, these were very, very faithful people. And every time, at night, in the evenings, they would pray. And in their prayers, they would pray for me by name, that God, may you pursue him. May you find him and bring him back. And sometimes Even when I am together with them, they pray to God with my name. And I was like, okay, that's okay. You pray, God might do something. But for me, I had lost all hope. Because my peers who had people who could take them out of the war zone had all gone and they were continuing education and things. But I do not see how I was going to catch up with them. And then at his own time, God found me. I gave my life to Jesus. And then before long, I became a very committed member in our church. I thank God that my grandfather was still alive. And he saw me give my life to Jesus. But he wasn't so sure. He shared with the priest that, please watch this child for me. I'm not so sure he is confessing his sins out of conviction. But maybe he's only trying to belong. So keep an eye on him. But then the priest kept an eye on me. And then he noticed that I had some gifts. And before long, I became a youth leader in our church. And then before long, I started reading scriptures and then preaching. And then they said, have you ever considered joining ordained ministry? I said, for what? I couldn't imagine myself, after where I was coming from, to becoming even a Christian that is really faithful. But now somebody is saying I could even consider ordained ministry. But they continued pushing after me. And so I applied just to let them go off my back. Because I didn't believe that I could be taken. But surprisingly, I was taken. And then I went to UCU Mukono, Uganda Christian University. I trained, and then I was ordained. The rest, as they say, is now history. I am now here as a bishop. So that transforming power that Paul is talking about is possible for anyone. For you, but also for your loved one who may seem to have gotten lost. How I pray that you and I will remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, who doesn't let his wealth just go like that, who doesn't let his sheep get lost. May that God meet us this morning. Amen. Amen.